Surprise. I'm not Pastor Mike, but I'm his twin. Don't we look alike? A little taller. Well, listen, they're at the cabin this week with their family of 15, and it's cold, it's white, and they're happy. I don't understand why, but that's their thing, so they're doing it. So thank you for sending them and blessing them. They always come back so refreshed, and you're just awesome for doing that. I'd like to thank Dr. Iverna for being here and Dr. Alan McCray and Sharon. It's very special that you're here. And it's also puts a little extra pressure on you for standing up here. But anyway, it's awesome how God shifts your assignments from time to time. So you spend a season and this is all you do. And then you spend a longer season and you don't do this at all. And it's like, well, what's up with that? Well, it's just a test to see if we'll learn to be content on wherever God plants us and whatever he assigns us to do. Because it's really not about us at all, is it? Amen. It's about the kingdom. So I love preaching to the 11 o'clock crowd. You're a lot more fun and a lot more exciting. So I expect you're helping this whole thing. How many of you ate too much over the holidays? How many of you are lying? Yeah. Okay. Thank you. I feel better now because I did. And I know all of us have our big on your mark, get set, go diet plan right after January 1, right? Well, I have some good news and some bad news. The good news is you might lose a little weight. The bad news is it has to become a lifestyle or it's not going to work long term, right? Which is kind of what we're going to talk about this morning. I am a person who loves to share on the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, whichever you prefer to call it. That's my passion. That's why I'm living and breathing. That's why I work with people 24/7. Is so that they will get it, they will understand it, and then they will chase after it and enter it. Anything less than that, really just kind of a waste of time. Yeah, you're going to get to heaven, but I don't know, I'm not excited about that. I'm excited about here to find out how we can help people and change lives, amen? So the Bible says in Matthew 5:6, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. And Jesus says in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. And I find that a rather strange scripture at times because working in the church, I find some of the most hungry and some of the most thirsty people ever in the church. Some of the most dissatisfied, some of the most visionless, some of the most purposeless people are in the church. But the Bible says, if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we shall be filled. So today I want to share about a kingdom recipe, what I feel like can really launch us as a church and as a family into the next season. And I believe that God wants to overtake CFTN in 2015 with the kingdom of God. I really do. I think it's cute that we have a big church, and I'm one that's building it every day. But a big church doesn't necessarily mean the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is a state of mind. It's a state of your heart. It's not a place. It's not off in the wild blue yonder. It's not even a position. But it's a heart issue. And that's what I want to share about this morning. Romans 14:17, a very familiar passage of scripture. But the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Can you say that with me? Righteousness. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And I think we've made it so complicated. And we look at this and we say, well, this is just so simple. Righteousness, peace, and joy. And bam, I'm in the kingdom. That's what the scripture says. Matthew 6:31 says, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? I don't like that part because I particularly like to shop. So in my Bible, I've kind of run the black thing through that part. But the other thing about eat or drink, yeah. For all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added to you. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Now listen to this and the message, and this is key here today. What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax. To not be so preoccupied with getting righteousness, getting good enough, getting somewhere, getting a position, getting whatever. Not so preoccupied with getting so that you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things, but you know both God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, and God provision. So according to this scripture, it sounds like God has already given what we need, so he wants us to relax and just receive it. Amen? So our kingdom ingredients that we're going to bake a cake here today, if you will, the first ingredient is righteousness. And so many of you know that I was raised in legalism and religious traditions, and we just really, really, really worked hard to be good enough. And it took me until I was 30 to figure out how far off the mark I was and that I probably was never going to achieve that. So I kind of just went my way for about 2 months. I walked away from the church. I walked away from everything, and I thought, well, what's the point? At least out here I could have some fun. So that was my 8 weeks of the world. It was awesome. I learned how to line dance. Got cowboy boots and a big buckle. Oh, yes, I did. But it was an awakening moment for me because I had worked so hard to become righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." There's another done deal. "For he made him," Jesus, "who knew no sin, to be sin for Debbie, that Debbie might become the righteousness of God in Jesus." There you go. Righteousness, the quality of being morally right or justifiable. We don't have that quality, but Jesus did. Jesus does. So we're covered. So let me just share this with you this morning. I feel like there are a number of you in here today who struggle with your walk, who struggle with being righteous enough, who struggle with being good enough. One day you do really good, maybe for 3 days you do really good, and then you crash. And then you come in feeling like the bottom of the earth. And God wants to tell you today, your righteousness is through Jesus Christ. It's not through yours. That's a main kingdom ingredient, is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, it'll take the pressure off and it'll free you up to be able to walk in who you've been called to walk into, and it'll take down the barriers. Some of you, it's like you have a cage over the top of you and you can't go any direction because you don't feel good enough. Well, guess what? You're not, I'm not, nobody in here is. It's because of Jesus. So the first ingredient this morning is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I encourage you to just embrace it and to hang on to it. Second ingredient, let's just add in a little bit of peace right here. If ever we lived in a world and a season that has lost their grip on sanity and peace, I believe we live there right now. We have more people on medication, more people in depression, more people who are suicidal, more people who are angry in the church. Oh, it just got really quiet in here. Than we've ever had before. And Christ wants to promote us in our mindset that the kingdom of heaven is righteousness, peace. Peace. Peace is part of our inheritance. Insanity, anxiety, fear, anger, wrath, mental illness is not our inheritance, church. It's not what we signed up for. God promised us to be whole in all of these areas. But in order to do so, we have to embrace the peace that he's given us. Mental calm, serenity, peace of mind. Freedom from disturbance. Wouldn't that be nice? The angel said when Jesus appeared on the earth, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to some of the people." No, to all men. Can you say that with me? All men. What a promise. When Jesus shows up, he always changes the atmosphere. In Mark, the 4th chapter, when the disciples were in the boat and they were being overtaken by the storm, Jesus wakes up, looks out, and he says, "Peace, be still." I didn't even think he yelled. He just informed the atmosphere who was in charge there, and it was not the atmosphere. And then he turned around and he said, "Everything that I have, I've given to you." So I want you to know this morning that you have charge over the atmosphere that you walk in. We are carriers of his peace. If you're a born-again believer, you have the power to change atmospheres if you will just walk in it. If you will be bold enough to step in it, even in your own home. Bob and I had a hit this week, and immediately we said, "We are in charge of this atmosphere. We are in charge of peace in our life. We're not accepting this attack. So peace, be still." And in a moment's notice, it turned around. And I thought, "Well, that felt pretty good. That's awesome. That's awesome." The last ingredient I want to talk about this morning is joy. And you know, if you weren't here in the month of December, Pastor preached a phenomenal, the best sermon I've ever heard on joy in my whole life. I mean, it was amazing. And that information and CDs are available in the bookstore. It's available on podcasts. I encourage you to take that and to just really put it to your heart. I've really applied it to me. And we're required to be full of joy. Remember that song, "Joy Unspeakable and Full of Glory"? One thing I wanted to add to Pastor's sermon, and I kept telling Pastor Mary, I said, you know, he keeps talking about joy. And Bob and I used to sing this old song. It's really sad. We used to do it in some comedy events at church. But if you're happy, notify your face. Take that frown off and put a smile in its place. If you know Jesus, then show it to the human race. If you're happy, notify your face. We have the anointing and the authority to walk into any depression, any sadness, any situation where people are overwhelmed and contaminate the atmosphere with joy, because joy changes everything. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I do believe that there are so many weak Christians and believers today because we have not embraced the joy of the Lord and become strong in that walk. Amen? So I'm encouraging us to just do a self-check daily. You all know I do this. I look in the mirror every day and I say, "Are you happy today, Deb?" Because I'm in charge of my happiness. My circumstances do not dictate whether or not I'm happy. That's a choice that I make. I can wake up tomorrow morning with bankruptcy notices, IRS liens, whatever it takes to rattle us, and I can say, "Okay, Deb, all this is all here, yeah. But are you happy?" Because my happiness comes from within and my relationship with Jesus Christ and my position in the kingdom. It's real simple. And if we get that, we don't ever have to go there again. We should be relief in the room when we walk in. Wow. So what's cooking, church? I believe righteousness, peace, and joy is in the oven at 6225 North Central. I really do. God wants us to reign and walk in that. Voila, we have the ingredients for kingdom living. The secret, people say, "Well, what's the secret to your success? You stayed with the same man for 43 years. Amen? Well, when you get married when you're 6, the first 20 years you're brain dead, so you're not even accountable for that, right? That's not true, babe. That's not true. But the secret to success, whether or not in ministry, in your career, in your marriage, in your family, in your relationship, is how much you allow the kingdom of God to reign in those relationships. It really is. And we have a choice. Jesus prayed, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." The same kingdom that's in heaven should be ruling and reigning here on earth. That's not new information, church. It's true. And God wants to remind us to be filled with the Spirit, with righteousness, to fully embrace the righteousness of Jesus Christ and the work he did, with peace. Peace is just an issue of trust or lack thereof. If we lose our peace, there's somebody we're not trusting. Plain and simple. To be consumed with joy, to be contagious. We need to focus on getting filled. An old-fashioned statement that I grew up with, I can't remember if I've heard Dr. Iverna say it, but my dad used to say it all the time. When crisis hits, whatever in the well will come up in the bucket. You all heard that before? Now, anybody under 30 doesn't even know what a well is. That's that big, deep hole in the ground where there's water, and they used to bring water up in a bucket. But if you've got toxicity in your well, or your well has become stagnant, when you draw from that well in a time of need, what you're going to bring up is what you've put in that well. And it's very, very important that we keep our well, or our kingdom, or our joy, our righteousness, and our peace open before the Lord and growing. Amen? Some of the results of walking in kingdom, Jesus was, of course, the big example, the one that we should follow, the great pattern. And I like what he did after he went through the 40 days in the wilderness of testing, and he went through extreme hunger and thirst. And after the 40 days, the angels, as we know, came and ministered to him. But after he left the mountaintop, or the wilderness, the very first thing that he did coming out of the chute, in Matthew 4, he said, he began to preach. And what did he preach? He preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And it caused a lot of religious people to be very, very confused. And so all of a sudden, he changed the direction and the focus of what they called the church back then. And Jesus was saying, okay, what they've been doing all this time, we're going to change all that. So from now on, you're going to start looking to me, and you're going to start following me, and I'm going to take you into kingdom lifestyle. So the rulers of the synagogue, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, I'm pretty sure they thought, now wait a minute. Up until you got here, in a cradle, by the way, but up until you got here, everybody was following us. They were looking to us. We were in charge. We had all the answers. But now you're telling me that they're going to start following you, which means they're not going to be looking to me anymore, which means I might just lose my positional authority here. And they became very, very threatened. But what Jesus was saying, when I ask you to repent, I want you to stop what you're doing. I want you to turn around. I want you to look at me, and things are going to be different from now on. And what I love about what he said is that, come and follow me. And he taught that the kingdom demands a life change. Ask yourself a couple of questions. You can even write these down if you like and answer them later. But what changes have come into your life since you've accepted Jesus? Because the first step to coming into kingdom, of course, is accepting Jesus. But if we've just accepted Jesus and gone to church, we haven't come into kingdom yet. I know y'all don't want to hear that, but it's really true. Because the kingdom of God is going to bring radical change to our life in every way. Question number one, what changes have come to our lives since we've accepted Jesus? Question number two, how have those changes affected the sphere of influence of your circle of family, friends, job, etc.? Matthew chapter 5 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Well, what does that mean? It's one of Jesus' teachings. And the message, it says, you're blessed when you get your inside world, listen to this, your mind, your heart right, then you can see God in your outside world. So if the inside world is cluttered with anger, doubt, fear, lack of peace, lack of joy, then we're going to look at the outside world as evil, chaotic, and Lord, put a bomb under it and suck me out of here to heaven as quick as you can. That's how we're going to look at it. But if we'll do what Jesus says, when you get your inside world, your mind and your heart right, then you can see God in your outside world. God wants us to begin to see the world, our family, our life, through kingdom eyes, through righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Doesn't matter where people are at in life, how far down they are, we should be able to look at them and say, oh, man, I could see them being a preacher someday. Yeah. I could see that person who doesn't even have hardly any clothes on that are just even fit to wear. I could see that person as a business owner someday. I could see that person as a community leader. But if we don't have kingdom eyes, then it's really difficult to see people. We label them according to religion. That's all I'm going to say about that. So don't be judged, because none of us love to be judged, right? I shared in the earlier service that whenever the Lord gives you a word, he always sets you up. Always sets you up. It's never pretty. It's like you get a word and you go, okay, when's that going to come? Well, yeah, the phone call came yesterday. It surely did. And I had a little bit of a family crisis, and a couple of my siblings have decided that one of my siblings is no longer fit to live. Seriously, these are all Christians. And my family has come a very, very long ways, but bless them, with a brick. No. Anyway, I did not say that. They're probably watching live stream right now. Hey. But they called in for me that a certain family member was there, and they no longer wanted him to be around. He was no longer part of the family, and he had some history. And so my first one, I said, well, does that mean we're just going to tattoo all of his issues across his forehead? Put him on an abandoned island and do a food drop once a week? What's that look like? I started getting really, really quiet. And I started just talking to them about the love of God and how the kingdom of heaven would operate, and how that no matter what, they should believe the best for him, and that really don't have a right to write anybody off. Boy, I'm sure glad God didn't write you off. Would you like me to name a few things why God should have written you off? I didn't do that. I could have, because I had stuff. But they were looking at it through religious eyes, and that they were done, and they were angry, and they had just decided that they're done. So I was able to talk the first sibling through it, and I said, you know what? I'm going to send you a book, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to start praying for them every day. And have you ever thought about, first of all, talking to them about these issues? And, oh, no, they wouldn't do that. Yeah, they don't want to wound anybody. They just want to put them on an abandoned island. This is how religion works. And then second of all, you know, you might try calling them once a week and just kind of mentoring them and see how their life's going and, you know, connect with them. Well, so I won that one. And the second one, boom, 2 hours later calls me. And this one wants that person to spend the rest of their life on an abandoned island. They've decided that the blood of Jesus was just not quite enough for them, even if they were baptized in it. And they just all over the place. And I just was reminded of this word that the Lord gave me about how that Jesus loved through unconditional love and through unconditional eyes that never judged. And how he's called us to do that. We have to reach the lost with kingdom perspective. Sorry, every time I minister, it has to be a little bit about the lost. You wouldn't love me otherwise. But in Matthew, the 9th chapter, the 35th verse, Jesus is going out on a ministry trip, and he said he made a circuit of all the towns and villages. He taught in their meeting places, and he reported kingdom news. Well, what's kingdom news look like? He healed their diseased bodies, and he healed their bruised and hurt lives. The one thing that I know that CFTN is called to many things, but the one thing that we're really called to is to heal broken lives. On every level, without judging, without cutting people off. We do set boundaries. when it might be a danger to other people or a hindrance. We set boundaries, but even in those boundaries, we make a pathway for them to get healed. And Jesus said, I'm bringing kingdom news. He healed their diseased bodies, and he healed their bruised and hurt lives. When he looked out over the crowd, his heart broke. So confused and aimless they were, like sheep with no shepherd. And he said, what a huge harvest. Pray for workers. And harvesters today are going to be kingdom dwellers. I really believe that. They're going to harvest with their hearts full of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. They're going to do outrageous things. They're going to witness supernatural provision. We already are. They're going to see fishes and loaves multitude. Because whenever you bring kingdom, you unlock all the potential that kingdom has with it, which is limitless if we will just be bold enough to bring it. God is limitless. He said in Matthew 16:19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Do you understand what kind of kingdom authority we have here? We have authority to step into any atmosphere and change it with what God's put on us on the inside. We are contagious carriers of righteousness, peace, and joy. I love that. When Jesus sent out the 12 in verse 1 of Matthew 10, he says, go to the lost, starting right here, in this neighborhood. Tell them the kingdom is here. Heal the sick, raise the dead, touch the untouchable. Uh-oh. Well, you know, there's just some people that we need to just leave alone. I believe God's going to challenge us on that this year. He might even put some of those in your family or some in your pathway. He might even let you fall in love with them first before you find out their issues. Now you're stuck. Because love will stick you. It really will. So once you're stuck, you're demanded to walk with them until their brokenness is healed. Amen? Touch the untouchable, kick out demons, see bondages broken. Freely you have given, or been given, excuse me, freely you have received, so freely give. How grateful are we for what Jesus has done for us? I'm blown away every day. Every day I'm blown away. And with that same amount of gratitude is what we should give out. And we can only give what we have. If we don't have joy, we can't give joy, can we? Because then it's fake. If we don't have peace, we can't give peace. If we live under condemnation and shame, it's really hard to give out the righteousness of Jesus Christ or to share that with people. You know, our kingdom mentality does not depend on elections, finances, it really doesn't. Family issues, our health, whatever else we want to fill in the blanks with. What are we contending with today that's giving us what we feel is robbing us of our purpose, our righteousness, peace, and joy? Because I believe Holy Spirit wants to heal that today. We can walk out of here free and walking in full kingdom. You know, as I said earlier, it's great that we're building a church here, building a big church, and I'm just blown away every day by what God does here. But our primary focus is not just to build a big church here. It's quiet in here. We can't do that if we forget to establish and maintain righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost in our lives. Because then we just build a big church. And we don't impact our city or the nation or the world. So I would just encourage us to really focus on maintaining and building up within ourselves, our most holy faith. How in the world, Bob and I have traveled many, many times to third world countries, and I've sat in these services, so have you, and see these people in dire need, sitting in mud with no electricity, no food, with their hands raised, tears running down their faces, and their faces could light up the world. And inside of me, I'm screaming, how can you be so happy? They found the kingdom. They found the kingdom. And in this country where we're so blessed so many times, our happiness is contingent upon our state of being. And God wants to set us free from that. We can have the worst day of our life, the worst news drop, and still step out and be kingdom-minded and be contagious. We really can, because it's not about us. My day cannot dictate my righteousness, peace, and joy. When the kingdom comes, it always demands change, immediate change. I'm going to throw out a couple of examples here. You can look them up later. But the kingdom of heaven is like yeast. You heard that thing where you put this dough in a bowl, and when they throw in the yeast, what happens? The bread just expands. It changes. It grows. That's the kingdom of heaven. Is there growth in your life? Is there growth in my life? Is there constant change? Or have I just become like this? The kingdom of God is like a lost coin. Woman lost a valuable coin in her house, and she tore her house up. Her life went on hold until she found the coin. The coin is the kingdom. It's like a treasure in a field or a pearl in a field. And a merchant recognized, there's a pearl in that field. I'm going to go sell everything I own, and I'm going to go buy that field because I want that pearl. That pearl is the kingdom of heaven. You can never sell out enough. You can never sacrifice enough. You can never give enough, because the more you give, the more satisfaction comes into your soul and the more full of joy you become. I promise you. The last one is kingdom is like a mustard seed. Tiny, tiny, tiny seed. But when it's planted, the Bible says it becomes large and it grows like a tree and it provides refuge for the birds of the air. It grows. It grows. The kingdom has to be growing. My behavior directly reflects my kingdom mindset or my position. Wow. Say that again. My behavior, our behavior, directly reflects our kingdom mindset or our position. Stepping into the kingdom, I promise you, you will find yourself on assignments you never dreamed you'd be on. It's amazing. You'll find yourself in places you say, well, how in the world did I get here? This is so awesome. It's kingdom when you surrender, when you sell out. You will find yourself loving people that you would have never found yourself loving before, ever. You will find yourself speaking positively into people where you can absolutely see nothing positive on the outside, but you will look inside the heart and declare kingdom to them. It's real easy to do, because kingdom will change you. You will find that generosity will reign in your life. Miracles, signs, and wonders will be the norm. I believe that kingdom is influencing and can fill this house, but not just for the sake of filling this house, but for the sake of affecting and changing lives. We get reports every day, weekly, that says, came to CFTN and it changed my life. I felt accepted. I felt loved. I felt discovered. I felt challenged. And that's what God has for this house. It's a kingdom house. In the kingdom, I'm closing with this. The focus, now listen to this really carefully. The focus shifts from us to them. From us to them. And the more you bless them, the more you will be blessed. the more you see people step into their purpose and discover who they are, the greater you will feel purposed and discovered. I promise you. Given, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. So this morning, as you stand to your feet, I really want to challenge you to make 2015 a year of change for your life. God has created and put a void within every one of us that only can be filled by Him, can only be filled by His purpose, can only be filled by His kingdom. And I love it. Last week I had a staff person come in and said, you know, the Lord's really been challenging me. I'm supposed to be doing even more than what I'm doing right now. And I said, man, you need to go for it. You need to go for it. If God wants to take you away for 9 months or a year, you need to go for it. Don't stop growing in the kingdom. And we do that around here. We encourage people, when you feel like you're maxed out, let's find out what the next level is for you. Because the kingdom is ever expanding. If you've not even found your purpose yet, I encourage you to step into Dr. McCrae's class on Life Impact Level 1. It's not a psych class. I'm telling you, it's a prophetic, anointed, purpose-driven class. On January the 10th, you need to be there. You need to sign up for it. And I think he's doing it almost free, 2 for the price of 1, which is ridiculous. Y'all need to take him up an offering after that if you go to that class. But there are things like that available so that you can find your place in the kingdom, because it's so very important. This thing is going to start moving so fast that we need to be ready. We just do need to be ready. I talk to some of my ministry friends all the time, and we say, man, this thing's going so fast, we're getting so overwhelmed. And it's an awesome feeling, and we need to be ready. We need to get ready, church. We need to get ready for kingdom. Amen? So I'm going to ask the prayer team if you would come forward today. And I really feel like this is a solemn moment to where we need to make commitments as a church, as individuals, to say, what is it, what else is it that you have for me? What is it you're calling me to? What is it that you want more from me? Where has my righteousness leaked out, my joy leaked out, my peace leaked out? What kind of example and witness am I to those around about me? Those are questions that I want us just to answer this morning in our hearts. God wants to change each and every person in this building. He's really challenged me with this word. He says, time to step up another notch, Deb. I said, okay, well, here we go. I don't know where we're going, but here we go. It's kingdom. The kingdom of God is not about tradition, rules, and regulations. It's simply righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's a heart matter. It's a mindset. So this morning, the first thing I want to deal with, as I know there's a number of you in here today that just feel like you just can't stay on top of things. You have a hard time embracing the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You have a hard time embracing what He's done for you. And you keep finding yourself just trying to work a little bit harder, be a little bit better. And if that's you here this morning, I believe the Holy Spirit's going to set you free the moment you come forward. God wants to set you free from that mindset. So we're going to just pause here for just a moment. And those of you who are really struggling in this area and feeling condemnation, I want you to come forward right now. And we're going to agree with you, and God's going to set you free. Ask the saints to be praying this morning.